Hope everybody's having a wonderful afternoon. I'm really happy to be back in the pulpit. I'm really joyful and thankful to be able to be before you. And I'm really always thankful for the opportunity to share God's words. And really happy to see a lot of you coming back tonight. And I hope that we can be again edified by the word of God. It is always impressive how many times and in how many ways we have to be thankful to our God. There's many different reasons why we should be thankful. I was thinking of one particular reason that is not just an ordinary reason. There was one time when I was a student at Memphis, and I was coming back in a flight back from Monterey. And then as you go through customs, you know, there's a official there. He checks your paperwork and he checks where you're going, and he's supposed to be the one that will deny you entrance and send you back or let you in. So he asked the question. He says, so you're a student at a school of preaching? And I say, yes, sir. And then he said, what Bible version do you use? And I say, uh-oh. And I say, this can get me in trouble or it can get me through. So I just admittedly said, we use the King James, sir. And he said, that's great. I'll let you in. If anybody else uses other than the King James, I won't let him in. And I said, well, I was thankful that, I said, I can even quote from you some verses if you want me to. But I was really thankful that time that I mentioned the King James. And that's a small reason. There's so many reasons why we should be thankful to God. And I want for us to go to Psalm 100. And Psalm 100 is exactly about being thankful. If you have your Bible and you want to go with me to Psalm 100, we're going to stay there mostly of the lesson. And I'll just mention some supporting verses. But we'll try to digest and meditate upon this psalm. Psalm 100 is a psalm of thanksgiving. As you can see in the title, you're going to see there the word song of praise for the Lord's faithfulness to His people. So, and then there's a subtitle there, a psalm of thanksgiving. And I'm going to be honest. Here in the United States, my favorite holiday is not going to be any other holiday but Thanksgiving. When I came to, for the first time as a student, one of my roommates, invited me over for a Thanksgiving, holiday. And I didn't know what was going to happen because that was my first Thanksgiving in the United States. And the one thing I do can remember, of course, being a college student, part of your life also revolves around being fed. And I was very much fed during the Thanksgiving break. Also, there was all new meals to me, that sweet potato pie, never seen it before, and all those really wonderful meals. For me, they were new. But then I began to like them. So it was really good. But then going back to the meaning of Thanksgiving, that's a great thing for any nation to do. Just be thankful and mindful of all the many blessings that God has given us. Now, I'm going to read a verse or two and then make an application and then go on. And then as you notice, it's only 5 verses. So if I spend 10 minutes per verse, we're going to stay here about 15 minutes. And then I will spend less than that. So don't worry. We'll be here less than that. Okay, verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Make a joyful. Notice we have to have there the word joyful. This adjective is there for a purpose. We sing out of a joyful heart. We sing out of a heart with thanksgiving. So we must have that joy when we're praising our Lord. Make that joyful shout. So we're going to see, as we go in this song, we're going to see how can we be thankful. We're going to see 3 ways. As we split this chapter in a few ways, we're going to see 3 ways in which we can be thankful. So the first way is right there on verse number 2. How can we be thankful to God in our worship to Him? Well, in the first place, notice verse 2. Serve the Lord. We're showing our thankfulness when we serve Him. And it's the least we can do for all the many blessings we receive from our Lord, to serve Him, to give Him our abilities, to give Him our time, to give Him our capacities in His service, voluntarily. If it's going to be out of coercion, if out of any other motives, then the service is not going to be rendered accurate before the eyes of the Lord. So out of thankfulness, we serve Him. And I want to point out something real quick. That word thanksgiving on the subtitle, it's the word, of course, the Hebrews used to say thank you, toda. It's the word to say thank you. So that's the word toda. So another way it is used is as by means of the word confession. You remember the story of Joshua back in Joshua 7, the story of Achan, to be more specific, how Achan took from Jericho what he was not supposed to do. And then notice, I'm just going to read this verse, Joshua 7:19. Now Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel. And then he said, make confession. Make todah. Give thanks to God. You should be thankful. And then it's used in a parallel way, to confess and to be thankful and to acknowledge. When we acknowledge what the Lord has done for us, when we acknowledge and give credit to Him, we're being thankful. We make confession of who He is and what He has done to us. So it's the same word used in that instance and in some other Psalms. So when we, according to verse 1 and 2, serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. So we see the word joyful there, and it reminds me of James 5:13. You remember what it says there in James 5:13? Is anyone among you suffering? What should we do? Pray. Now, is anyone among you happy? Is anyone among you cheerful? Let him sing songs. What a beautiful commandment we have there. When we're cheerful, we sing out of a thankful heart, out of a joyful heart, and we are acknowledging. In fact, when we sing, we're confessing. The fruit of our lips is confessing, acknowledging who, where our blessings come from. It is from God. So also when we give back from our means, according to 2 Corinthians 9:7, so let each one of you give purposely in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, because God loves the cheerful giver. So when we come to give, when we come to partake of the Lord's Supper, when we come to worship God in singing, in praise, we have to do it out of this cheerful God, heart, joyful heart. It's part, it's very important part. So notice also that in verse 2, serve the Lord, verse 1, make shout of joy to you, the Lord, all you lands. So just making an application of that word, all you lands. We, as Christians, our purpose is, as we confess and as we're thankful to God, to make public acknowledgement so that more and more and more and more people can hear about Him, so that it can reach all of the lands, if possible. So this is only possible when the church is growing, when the kingdom is growing, and more Christians join in singing worship with cheerfulness to God, and then more and more people are going to be able to worship together. Okay, so we must, how are we thankful to God? By serving Him. We serve Him out of a thankful God. Remember Mark 10:45, when there was a petition made to Jesus that these two apostles were put one in the right hand, one in the left hand, and when He came on His kingdom. And then they were mistaken in this approach, because there was not going to be an earthly kingdom, and much less giving places of preeminence to the apostles. So He replies to them, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life in ransom for many. So we have the example there of Jesus. He's the one serving actively and giving us an example for us to follow. So we must also serve out of a thankful heart for everything that God has done for us. And remember, we must keep in mind Luke 16:13, that no one can serve two masters, for either we're going to please one and then fail the other, or please the other and fail the one. We cannot serve both, as the application said here, God and riches. And this can apply, this principle can apply for other aspects. So we must keep in mind who our Master is and serve Him. And serve Him, only Him, as a thanksgiving for everything he has done. So we must serve him. We can show our gladness to him by serving him. But that's not the only way we see here in Psalm 100. Notice also, I'm going to read from verse 3, and then I'm going to stay there in verse 3. Notice, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So another way we can be thankful to God, according to verse 3, is by submitting to him. Acknowledge him that the Lord, he is God. He is the one that made us and not ourselves. We are his people. We are under his commandment, under his authority, and we are his sheep of his pastor. He is our shepherd. He is our teacher. So what a student must do is submit to the teacher. Have a learning attitude. Learn, ready to follow, ready to obey. That's the type of attitude the Lord wants from a cheerful and thankful heart. And that's the way we should express it. So by submitting to him. Now notice that phrase that he is the one that made us. It is very interesting how still nowadays the more and more that we progress technologically and in different fields of knowledge and so on, the more people believe that we are out of an accident or that we are out of evolution. And the Bible clearly says he is the one that made us. Sometimes we think that we made ourselves. We think that we figured it out. We think that we know the answers because we can progress so much technologically in science and so on and so forth that we don't have to open the Bible to learn some of the modern day sciences. And then people say, well, I figured it out through science. But we could not have made ourselves because there's several principles. For instance, life can only come from pre-existent life. That's the way we have always known it. Life comes from pre-existence life. A mother gives a birth to a child, and then that's the only way we know it, ever since we've been here. So that's a principle that also applies to this world. Life comes from pre-existent life. Then if evolution was true, and they say, well, we came from one cell, well, then where did that cell come from? There's no explanation to it, even if that was true. But it's not true, of course, as we know from the Bible. There is no evidence. We know that matter could not have created the mind of man, because something cannot give to another thing something which that thing doesn't possess. I hope I'm explaining myself. So matter could not have given us any mind that we have. At what point, as we were evolving from matter, did we start thinking? Did we start making choices? Did we start being rational beings? There's no way people can explain that in any research. So also there's no evidence that any kind jumps from another kind. And that's also very evident, common sense in our everyday lives. You see cats, and there's different types of cats. And I'm more inclined to dogs, and you can see different breeds of dogs, but they're always dogs, no matter the shape or form or anything we can think of. And then same thing applies to the animals. So there's no evidence. And if we were jumping from one to another, at what point did we decide to stop jumping to become something else? If that's the way we can explain it. So when we think about evolution, it is an unproved assertion. There's no way to prove it. And it's an unproved assertion, which is believed in spite of the facts and not because of the facts. And that is the plain truth. So that's where evidence comes from for us. So, and also, just before I jump to the next point, there must be a cause to any effect. So we know this also. All of life, we have seen it. There's a cause for every effect. So scientists agree that the world and us humans, we come from a cause. They agree with that. We agree. We come from a cause. They say the cause was an explosion, but we say, according to the Bible, the cause was an all-powerful hand and word of God. That's where we come from. So that's some principles that we can think of when we think about not creating ourselves. But then it's very interesting how, again, atheism has been growing and growing. I was thinking of a very important character in my childhood. Well, it's a TV character, a comic person. He would do different roles, and he grew up in Mexico, then he expanded out to South America, even to some places in Europe. And he was known as Chespirito. This gentleman, he died about 3 years ago. And he's a big example for kids back home. I mean, they love him. And they still see his, even though he's been dead for a long time, his programs still run every day, and children know about him. But then, even though he's a really influential character, when he was interviewed a few months before he passed away, he made a statement saying that he's going to go back to who knows where, and then he's going to join again the chain of evolution, and we're going to continue evolving as we always have been. And I thought, well, that's really shameful that being such a brilliant man, and then supporting such an unfact view when it comes to evolution. And then it gets me thinking sometimes, and I don't want to judge anybody who is an evolutionist, but sometimes it makes me think that when you accept that God created everything, when you acknowledge that God is the creator of the world, then you also have to acknowledge what comes after you die. You have to acknowledge what you have to do to be saved. You have to acknowledge that you have to be accountable in your marriage. Then you have to acknowledge everything else. So they rather say, we're going to deny the Bible altogether, therefore we're not going to be accountable in any shape, way, or form in our lives. And that sometimes makes me think that that's the reason behind it. Because using logic, we can see there's evidence that we've been created by an all-powerful God. So we didn't create ourselves, God created us. So what is our relationship with God? He created us, He made us, we are His. Notice, we are His people, and we are the sheep of His pasture. We have a close relationship to God. We're close to Him. That's where everything hangs together. That's where our thankfulness is tied to that relationship we have with God. We're very close related to our God, and that's the center of Christianism. Okay, so when we think about submitting to God, I just have a couple of verses that I want to read for you. One of them is Ephesians 5:24. Therefore, just as the church is subject to who? To Christ. So out of thanksgiving, we must be in subjection to the Lord out of our thanksgiving. And then also remember Philippians 2, 9 and 10, when he reads, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. For what reason? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, everyone shall bow and be in subjection to Jesus willingly or sometime after the judgment. So out of thanksgiving, we should be submitting to God. We should follow His commandments. We should follow His guidelines for the family, His guidelines in the church, His guidelines for morals, for personal living, out of thanksgiving for everything He has done for us. But not only that, we must, how can we show our gratitude to God? We'll say first that we must serve Him. And then second, I just mentioned that we must submit to Him. And then lastly, as we look at verses 4 and 5, how can we show our gratitude to God? Okay, not only by submitting to Him, not only by serving Him, but also notice verses 4 and 5. We show our gladness when we give sacrifices to Him. And I'll explain what I mean to by this. Notice verse 4 and 5. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Notice, we're bringing sacrifice there. And then be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures all to all generations. We show our gratitude when we bring sacrifices to our Lord. There's many different sacrifices we can bring. It makes me think, for instance, of Paul and Silas when they were at Philippi, and then they were put in jail. And then you remember what happened with them. They were in a dark place, their feet tied, and they were in a really uncomfortable situation. But what were they doing? Were they regretting to be Christians? Were they regretting to be preachers of the gospel? They were thankful. They were bringing this sacrifice of praise. They were singing songs. And the rest of the people there in jail, they were listening to them, to this example that they were presenting, to the point that the jailer went and asked them, when the opportunity came for him, what must I do to be saved? So we see that in spite of the situations, we can be offering up sacrifices of praise to our Lord. Now, how can we give sacrifices? If you have your Bible, you want to turn to Hebrews 13. Let me show you a couple of sacrifices we can make, and it's in connection to this. Hebrews 13, and I'll tell you the verse in a minute. It's going to be verse 15. Notice what the Bible says right there in Hebrews 13. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifices of praise to God. By him, by Jesus, let us continually offer sacrifices of praise to God. That is, in other words, what are the sacrifices? The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So we see here an application for singing. When we sing, we're offering up a sacrifice, a living sacrifice to our Lord. We're giving a sacrifice, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's one way we can bring sacrifices to the Lord. That's why it's very important and very significant when we come and sing praises, that we do it with all our effort, without our mind, without our understanding, without our heart involved when we sing, that we understand the words we're singing, that we sing with the right attitude. That's why it's important. But notice the next verse, verse 16. Notice, but do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. It's another sacrifice, which is doing good deeds, helping other people, being good to people, being good to our brethren, being good to those who are in need. Those are sacrifices that God really enjoys, as we read in verse 16. Now, there's another one that I want to share with you before I finish this point. And this is in Philippians 4:15 through 18. Notice, and this is in the context of support for an apostle, for a monetary support. This is in this context. Notice Philippians 4:15 through 18. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but only you. I didn't have any support from any other congregation except from you. You are the ones that supported me when I was in Macedonia. Notice verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. You supported me in my necessities. I was preaching. I didn't have any other way, any other means for support when I was in Macedonia. But then you didn't forget about me. And you sent once and again for my necessities. Verse 17, now that I seek the gift, not that I seek the gift, excuse me, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Fruit that abounds to your account. Verse 18, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus, notice, the things you sent from you. Notice the last part, a sweet, swelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. So when we help another missionary, when we help somebody who is preaching the gospel in this particular instance, notice it's something that abounds to our account, to those who are helping, abounds to our account. Where? In which bank? Well, in heaven. That's where it abounds to our account. And then notice, also not only abounds to our account, but also notice it's a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing unto God. And I'm going to tell you something. When I know what pleases the Lord, we better stay there. Because that's the surest way we can please him. When he tells us exactly what is it that pleases him, we are given already an advantage. We know what to do. So it's only wise that we will stay there and follow that commandment. So we see that we can offer sacrifices by singing, by doing good deeds, and then in this case, by aiding in time of necessity. And we see this particular example here of Paul. Now, what is the conclusion of this psalm as we close up? Let us continually be thankful, give thanks to God because he is good, because his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness endures to all generations. That's how the psalm closes. That's the reason why we should be thankful to God. And we've seen this afternoon three ways in which we can be thankful to God: by serving him, by submitting to him, and by offering sacrifices to him. Now my encouragement it is that we do that, that we are thankful to God, and that we show it. Sometimes we remember that parable of the 10 lepers, how only one of them came back being thankful. And then that one, the only one that came back was a Samaritan, the one that was less expected of, to be able to come back, to say thanks, but he's the one that came back. So we must show our thankfulness to God in everything that we do. And then the list will be a very long list when we think about it, when we make a list. Just the fact of having good health and being able to assemble here and being able to sing, that's reason enough to be thankful. You can ask this to anybody who is homebound, how they would wish they could gather today and be able to hear the Word of God live and be able to sing and be able to shake your hands. And that's sometimes something that we could, at times, could take for granted. So we must be thankful to God. So, for anybody who is not a Christian tonight, the gospel plan of salvation is also a way we can show gratitude to God. He's given his life for us. Christ has given his life for us, and he suffered and left the comfortable place of heaven to come here to suffer for us. And we show also gratitude when we obey the plan of salvation. We know from Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing. And hearing what? Hearing the word of God. Nothing else is going to produce faith on us. No stories or movies or something like that. Only the word of God can produce faith on us. And then once we hear it, we have now the responsibility and also the ability to believe that message. Like John 8:24 said, except you believe in me, you will die in your sins. So we must believe in Christ and in his words. And that's the way we can make progress to our salvation. But then we need not to forget Romans 10:10, that with the heart one believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth one makes confession unto salvation. It's very important that the word salvation is there next to confess. Confess is a very key, important part of salvation. And now repent, Acts 17:30, as we learned that this time of ignorance God winked at. But now he's asking everyone, everywhere, to repent. And he's given us an opportunity to do so. Change our ways, change our path, and come back to the Lord and obeying his commandments. And lastly, as we know from Acts, for instance, Acts 8:36, that the Ethiopian eunuch was going down the road, he said, "Here is water, what hinders me to be baptized?" And then Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he was baptized, and then he went his way rejoicing. Interesting and very significant that he rejoiced after the fact, after he was baptized, because he knew all the blessings that had come to him. Now, if you're already a Christian and there's anything that is on your heart, anything that is troubling you, anything that you are not sure if you're right to the Lord because something you think you have done, we will be grateful and glad and happy to pray with you, pray for you as you make reconciliation before God. If there's any way we can help you and assist you, please do so as we stand and as we sing.